His name was Billy. I said, Billy, what do you think is going to be in heaven? He said, pizza. In heaven, you'll be able to eat pizza all day long and never get full. So I started to think, all right. What's going to be in heaven? Then I thought, well, what about the obvious? Just start with the obvious. I do know Jesus is going to be in heaven, right? And the second is, I know people are going to be in heaven. So here it is. In order to invest your treasures in heaven, you invest in Jesus and in people.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. The Bible tells us that we are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. But one day, Pastor Wayne was wondering, just how exactly do you do that? Well, today we'll learn that it has a lot to do with relationships. Most importantly, our relationship with Jesus, but also of great importance is our relationship with those around us. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Promoting Healthy Relationships.
I love communication. I also like to see when communication gets bungled up because I want this message to be as clear and concise as possible. And sometimes I'll read ads and it's funny because I don't know what they're saying and I kind of collect some and I watch for them. And I want to show you a couple of examples of ads that don't make sense. Here's one. Now, it says, are you illiterate? Now, if you're illiterate, you can't read. So this is a newspaper. Are you illiterate? Right now for free help. No, he's just... Here's another one. Auto repair service. Free pickup and delivery. Try us once and you'll never go anywhere again. This is one of my favorites. Dog for sale. Eats anything and is fond of children. This one's a little older, but it says, man wanted to work in dynamite factory, must be willing to travel. Boom, goodbye. And this is in a grocery store, right in a grocery store. Stock up and save, limit two. Well, I don't want this message to be difficult to understand. I want it to become very clear. Because what we're about to talk about is going to be one of the most important messages you'll ever hear, really. Because Jesus said so. Watch this. In a moment, you're going to hear the whole law distilled into one. But before I tell you that, let me ask you a question. Here's a question. If you had life to live all over again, how would you live it? Would you invest in certain things more and some less? What would you do if you had your life to live all over again? Irma Bombeck is one of my favorite writers. She writes articles in newspapers, and she was asked that question, and she writes about it. Let me read this to you. Someone asked me the other day if I had my life to live over again, would I change anything? My immediate answer was no, but then I changed my mind. If I had my life to live all over again, I would have cleaned and waxed less and listened more. I would never have insisted that the car windows stay rolled up on a summer day just because I had just sprayed my hair. And I would have invited more friends over to the house, even though the carpet were stained and the sofa faded. I would have taken more time to listen to my grandfather ramble on about his youth. And I know I would have burned that pink sculptured candle that looked like a rose before it melted in the closet where it was stored. I would have worried less and I would have laughed more. And I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending that the earth would stop because I wasn't there for a day. There would have been more I love yous and many more I'm sorries. I guess if I were given another chance at life, I would take more time for relationships. I would seize every minute of every single one of them and live it to its fullest and never let any of them slip through my fingers ever again. Well, that article to me is very poignant because Irma Bombeck has since passed away. And I'm thinking, you got to read that. And if she were to live life all over again, here's how she would have optimized it. So the real question is not if you had to live your life all over again. The real question is, what will you do now with the rest of your life after this message? As I said, this will be the most important sermon you'll ever hear. You say, is that what you're saying? No, sorry. This is what Jesus is saying. And he's about to tell you something that I hope we catch. So I want you to take out your notes. I'm going to take out my Bible. And let's open this book and see. We're going to talk about healthy relationships. Let's read this together. The Pharisees came to Jesus and said, hey, cut to the chase. Cut to the chase. Get rid of all the compromise. Tell me, what is the most important scripture of the whole Bible? And Jesus replied and said this. Would you read it with me? Go. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as... In your notes, would you underline the second is like it? In other words, the Lord is saying, these are two commandments, but the second is almost like the first. Second is like unto it. There's not a huge difference between the two. They're really linked together. And we're going to see that in just a little bit, why Jesus is saying that and what he is meaning. The two greatest commandments in one. What are they? Well, the first is this. Would you write in your notes? It says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is a vertical relationship. The most important is your relationship vertical. But he said the second is really close to it, and that is, what do you think? A horizontal relationship. It's like the cross, a vertical and a horizontal. These two relationships, if you get this, you got the whole Bible. In fact, the Lord is saying, it's so obvious. You want to know the greatest commandment of all? Here it is. See, what we do sometimes, and it's an error, but often we get caught up on things that the Bible isn't really emphasizing. Like you'll see billboards, the last day of the world is May 21. And you know, here's a tip. We need to be silent where the Bible is silent, but be vocal where the Bible is vocal. Because if not, we'll be vocal where the Bible is silent, and we'll be silent where the Bible is vocal. Because we like to do that because it adds a little bit of pizzazz. But the Lord is saying, no, here's something extremely obvious, the greatest commandment of all, zero in that on that, because if you miss that, you'll miss everything else in the Bible. The two greatest investments. You know, Jesus says something about that in Matthew chapter 6. Would you read that with me? Go. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys or thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Yeah, I heard the Lord say that. He said, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth or rust don't destroy and criminals can't break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I thought, how do you invest your treasure in heaven? You got to fling this a long way. Well, I was scratching my head. I couldn't figure it out. How do you invest in heaven? So I was in Bible college. So I went to pizza with a friend of mine who loves to eat. And his name was Billy. I said, Billy, what do you think is going to be in heaven? Because I'm trying to invest in heaven. He said, in heaven? Yeah, I said, what do you think is going to be in heaven? He said, pizza. I said, pizza? He said, oh, yes. More than that, though. In heaven, you'll be able to eat pizza all day long and never get full. I said, you're sick. So I went to another friend, and he was a surfer. I said, what do you think is going to be in heaven? He said, a wave. the perfect wave. I said, what? Yeah, you'll surf this wave in, and when it hits the reef, the wave turns around and surfs you back out. I said, you're just as sick as Billy. So I knew I'd have to figure this one out for myself. So I started to think, all right. What's going to be in heaven? How am I going to invest in heaven? All right. I know that there's going to be mansions and golden streets, but I'm not sure if that's figurative or not. Then I thought, well, what about the obvious? Just start with the obvious. All right. I do know Jesus is going to be in heaven, right? Okay, that's obvious. And the second is, I know people are going to be in heaven. So I know for sure, I don't know about the rest, but I do know Jesus is going to be there and people are going to be there. How many of you agree? Yeah. So here it is. In order to invest your treasures in heaven, you invest in Jesus and in people. And if you invest in Jesus and in people, you'll be laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And that's exactly what the Lord was saying. A vertical relationship, investing in heaven, and a horizontal, investing in people. And I thought, that's it. But then I stopped. I thought, wait a minute. Loving God is easy. I said, God, it's people I can't stand. Well, I was reading 1 John chapter 4, and I read this. I came across this, and it says, you can't say you love God whom you've never seen if you can't love the brother who you have seen. I thought, oh, what do you mean? Yeah, I cannot say I love God whom I've never seen if I can't even love those who I do see. But then I pushed back. I said, but God, you just don't know some of the people I know. There's one guy, I remember going to my wife, Anna, and I said, honey, what do I do with this guy? I can't stand him. She said, honey, pray for him. So I did. Dear God, pluck out his eyes. So I said, God, how can you handle this person? And then he led me to another scripture. By the way, you'll find that often when you ask God questions, he'll give you a scripture. You know why? One person said, Wayne, have you ever heard the voice of God? Do you know what it sounds like? I said, oh, I've not heard the voice of God, but I have. He said, what do you mean? I said, you know what God sounds like? He said, what? God sounds just like the Bible. Yeah, he sounds, because see, this is the word of God, you see? So it's a written word of God, so God sounds just like the Bible. So when you ask him a question, it may be a week or two, you'll be doing your devotions, and you will come across a scripture, and it'll just pop out at you. Have you ever been reading the Bible and something just pops out at you? I call it the Holy Ghost highlighter. You know, I just... And out of Matthew 25, Jesus was talking with his disciples. And when I said, how can you love this one person? The Lord spoke to me through the scripture. And he says, that which you do to the least of these, my brethren, that's what you do to me. I thought, huh? Yeah, that which you do to the least of these, my brethren, that's what you're doing to me. Now, this one scripture convicted me to my socks. Here's what the Lord was saying. When I said, it's easy to love God. It's this guy I can't stand. The Lord was saying this, Wayne, do you want to know what the true measure of your love is? Because you say, oh, I love God. That's easy. It's people I can't stand. You want to know what the accurate measurement of your love for me is? I said, yeah, what is it? He said, you love me only as much as the one you love the least. Because that which you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. You see? You love me truly, accurately, only as much as the one you love the least. All the rest are neat platitudes. Well, that convicted me. I said, God, if relationships are that important, that it actually reflects my vertical relationship, it's expressed in my horizontal. Because remember, he said, the second is like unto the first. It's that important that we have healthy relationship, because that's the accurate expression of our vertical love for God, no matter how religiously we talk. So I said, God, is it that important? Yes. So then I thought, I've got to really start making sure I've got good relationships. Why is it so important? Because everything in life is going to find its value within the context of relationships. If you have good relationships with somebody, even the simple things are valuable. But if you don't like each other, even good stuff doesn't mean anything. I remember when Anna and I were dating, I was in love, and our relationship was great. We could sit on the side of a river and find great joy in the simplest thing. We take a little daisy and we pick one little petal at a time. We talk for hours about grass and water. It didn't matter. Isn't that right? Why? Because the relationship was so rich, anything was valuable. But you have others that are fighting in a beautiful home or a mansion, and if they hate each other, nothing's worth a dime. I saw that quite poignantly in Hilo. I was going up to Volcano and back, because we lived in Hilo, and I would pass by this beautiful house. It seemed beautiful anyway, but there was a for sale sign on it. It was a Spanish house with hand troweled stucco, and it looked so nice from a distance, but it for sale, and it was for sale for years. I mean, 3 years later, 4 years later, it was still for sale. So I called up a real estate guy. I said, I want to look at it. There must be a reason nobody wants to buy it. So I drove up there. When I looked through the window, why, there were water stains. There was sheetrock falling off. The wood on the floor was warped. The counters were messed up. And much of it was unfinished. I mean, bare wood that was all stained and rotting. And I thought, what is going on? This is crazy. And then I looked outside. There are tiles falling off the roof. And I said to the real estate guy, I said, this thing looks only like half finished and it was abandoned. He said, you got it. I said, what happened? He said, well, the man that was making this was a contractor himself, and it was his own project. But right in the middle of his project, he and his wife went through a very messy divorce. He lost his wife and he lost his family. And at that point, he said, why should I finish this house when I have no one with whom I can share it? And he left it. What happened? A beautiful house was worth nothing. Because you see, would you write in your notes? Value is determined only within the context of relationships. You have something of a healthy relationship, value increases. You have bad relationship, values decrease. You have healthy relationships, the simple becomes sublime. You have bad relationships, the exquisite is extinct. It's all within the context of relationships. And that's why God says, I've created you in such a way that if you will maintain healthy relationships, life becomes rich. Because in the end, ultimately, it's going to be relationships that give value to life, nothing else, not the stock market. God designed us to not live in a vacuum, but in the midst of the context of healthy relationships. Well, I think I can be happy even if I cut off so-and-so and cut off so-and-so. Really? Yeah. God would say, what would it take to make you happy? A big house. I want a big house. Okay, God says, I'll give you 2, 3. Oh, are you happy now? I'm happy. 3 times happy. Well, what else would you like to make you happy? Oh, if I had some motorcycles, I'll really be happy. All right, I'll give you 1 for every day of the week. Woohoo! 7 motorcycles. Oh, I'm so happy. Are you really happy? Yes. What else would you need to be happy? Oh, swimming pool. All right, I'll give you a beautiful swimming pool. Olympic size. Woohoo! I'm happy. What else? Money. I need money. Here's a stack of money. Woohoo! Are you happy? Yes, I'm happy. I'll give it all to you. Yes! Under one condition. Anything. Anything, God. You take all of this and you will live with these houses and motorcycles and swimming pools and money. You will live on an island in the middle of the ocean, and for the rest of your life, you will have no more contact with another human being for the rest of your life. You are all alone, but enjoy. Well, maybe the first week it'd be fun riding one bicycle on Monday and another one on Tuesday and swim in one pool and then live in one house and then go into the other one. It might be nice, but after a couple of weeks, it's like, this is absolutely empty. Why do I want any of this stuff? Because you see, everything finds its value only within the context of relationships. You have healthy relationships, things get exciting. Bad relationships, doesn't matter what you have, it's empty. Isn't that right? And in a growing church, the larger a church gets, the more intentional we have to be about developing and building healthy relationships. Because see, when New Hope was really small, we had like 7 people, we could all sit around one campfire and sing Kumbaya to one another. And all 7 of us were famous. Yeah, we all knew each other. We noticed everything about one another. But then it starts to grow. And then, hey, how come so-and-so is not in my life group anymore? Hey, how come he's not? I never see so-and-so. Oh, man, they forgot about me. Well, the larger the church grows, the more intentional we have to be about relationships. Because that is the key to the value of our future. Now, mark my words. If you catch this, you got it. If you miss this, doesn't matter how much theology you got, you missed it. You see that in families. When a family is small, you know, everyone gets a lot of attention. But after it grows, it's like you got 7 or 8 kids. The kids no longer have names. It's number, yeah? Number 4, boy. Number 4, come here. Number 7, you shut up. Number 3, come here. Tree. Number 3, boy. Boy, boy. Isn't that right? It's like that all the time. I'm the youngest of 4, and then my dad and mom got divorced and both remarried, so I have a family of 11. But in my original family, we all have photo albums. And my sister, when she was first born, they took pictures of her with doing everything. You know, you open her photo album, it's this thick, and you open up the first page. Oh, here's Londa when she was born. And oh, here's when she had her first diaper put on. Oh, here's when we changed her diaper. Oh, poo-poo in the diaper. And then here's the first bottle. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The second born is my brother Jerome. It's like, you know, open his album. Oh, here's Jerome, first birthday, second birthday, third birthday. Then my brother Gary is 3rd. Oh, here's Gary when he joined the Marines. Isn't that true? And then mine. Was Wayne ever born? The larger the church grows, the more intentional we need to be about relationships, because value is determined only within the context of relationships. Well, you say, all right, if this is true, then how do we intentionally invest in treasures in heaven of Jesus and people? Well, here they are. Here they are. 3 real quick tips. The first is this. Number 1, make Jesus your most important relationship of all. You've got to have Jesus as number 1. Before your job, before what people think, before tasks, you've got to put Jesus first, because Jesus is like that who will recalibrate the way we think and see. If he's not first, if he's 3rd, and like money's 1st, friends are 2nd, my girlfriend is 3rd, Jesus, you kind of be a rabbit's foot, help me in all of these. If he's down the line, your perspective is skewed, because he is the recalibration of our souls. He helps us to see things in life and decisions accurately. He is the beginning of wisdom. He is called the wisdom of God. And if he is out of the epicenter and I'm in the epicenter, or my girlfriend is, then everything is off balance. It's skewed. And let me tell you, if Jesus isn't your most priority relationship, listen very carefully, because your life or your eyes will get skewed and he's not recalibrating, then there's going to be times You will be convinced that you're right, but you're dead wrong.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Promoting Healthy Relationships by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.